In your Bibles, please. To Hebrews chapter 7. We've seen some startling things. Not only, boy, it's going to get worse. Chapter 10 was just a prelude. Chapter 7 is just a prelude. Wait till you get to chapter 10. I can't help but start preaching when I'm in chapter 10. We've heard some really startling things, especially a lot of people never read the book of Hebrews. Most people's favorite books are Romans, Galatians. But very few have read this book. This is written by Paul. I showed you how when Paul went into a town, a synagogue, and said, "I proclaim to you Jesus," they ended up throwing stones at him, beating him up, and leaving him for dead. There is a role model that I follow. Look what he said. The priesthood is changed. Let me ask them, the priesthood has changed. Are you going to ever see Levitical priests again? How about Aaron and Zadok? Gone, bye-bye. Not that they were bad people. We don't mean that. Just that Jesus Christ is now, His priesthood has canceled all the rest. So whatever your theology is, Levitical priests, Aaronic priests, it's done. The law has been changed because the priesthood has changed. Guess what? He's forever that way in verse 17 we found. Verse 18, the setting aside of the former commandment. Why was the law set aside? It was weak. Why? We couldn't keep it. Remember what we saw in Acts? Peter got up and said, "Why should we put this on the Gentiles? Even we couldn't do it." Good thinking. You are free. Because all the law could do under the old covenant was condemn you, let alone sanctify you. No one can keep. How can you be sanctified by something that no one can keep? For the law made nothing in verse 19, what? Are you one of those Christians that like to stone people? You know, when you see those people, I want to tell you something. When you see those people in defiance of God, dancing around, parading in their parades, listen to me, what you say is this: if God could save me, He can save you. We're not the people that throw rocks anymore. Aren't you glad when Jesus met the woman caught in adultery? Where was the man? Ladies, where was that guy? You know what your Savior said? And He had the right to stone anybody He could. He was the only perfect one. You know what He said? "Where are your accusers, woman? I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." I want us to be like that at this church. Can't we be like that? Can't we be loving? So many church fundamentalists, and here we go again, Pastor Dave, you and your family. Can't we be gentle and loving? Can't we? Not to be soft on sin, but God is not soft on sin, but can't we be soft on the sinner? Huh? Huh? That's what Jesus was. If anybody could have been harsh on people, it was your Savior. And who gave Him the worst time? You know the answer to that. The Word of God is very clear. Who gave Jesus the hardest time? The Pharisees and the religious leaders. Isn't that interesting? Well, let's go on. On the other hand, a better hope. Who is the better hope? What is the better hope? Jesus Christ and the new covenant. Now, why does He say not best hope? Well, it's English and Greek grammar. Why isn't it He's the best hope, Pastor Dave? Well, the reason why is, and here we go, I don't want to get too technical, but in comparison in language. And we all go back to the Tower of Babel. Remember that? We all go back to one family, Adam, then Noah, and we all go back where all of our ancestors, as crazy as they would be, met in the plains there and decided to defy God, and all the languages got split. And at the Tower of Babel, you know, God hardwired our brains for language. Just like, these things are hardwired, whoever did the wiring. Where's Mark? Isn't evolution wonderful? Mindless chance can produce perfect order. You want to be a renowned scientist, deny that there's a God and just say it just randomly happened, and then you're profoundly scientific. The reason why is, when you compare, when you say one thing, John Maxwell is good, and then you want to say, but Nora is better, you're You're comparing two things. Listen to me. There are two things being compared here, not three. If three things were to be compared or more, you would say good, better, or as I would have said, good, gooder, and goodest. So he's comparing two things. What's he comparing? The old and the new covenant. So he uses the term better, but really better means best, beyond comparison. It's the grammar here that maybe cannot quite convey the implications. The bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. How do you draw near to God today? Do you bring sacrifice? You going to look for a Levitical priest? No. You're going to come boldly to the throne of grace. You're going to draw near because your great high priest has paved that way. You have instant access. In the Old Testament, they had to go through all sorts of stuff God was teaching them. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this. The reason why it was an object lesson that Jesus Christ and His sacrifice had to be done before God to appease His wrath for sin, it had to be. Now, come boldly. Are you doing the dishes? Are you swearing at your husband for being an idiot like they all are? Come boldly to the throne of grace. You don't need to bring sacrifice. You don't need no priest. As a matter of fact, Peter tells us, you are a kingdom of priests. A chosen nation. A royal priesthood, it says in 1 Peter 2. That's you! And you know what's amazing in that? That's a Jewish man. Peter. Telling stinking Gentiles, I love you. We're all together in this. Jesus Christ has united us. And you, under the new covenant, are a kingdom of priests, a royal nation, a holy people for God. You see, all of the promises of the Old and New Testament are wrapped up in two words. You ready? In Christ. And apart from in Christ, there is no other way. Imagine those two Jewish guys sitting before the Sanhedrin. 70 of the finest rabbis, Pharisee and Sadducee. And I love what Peter said. We proclaim Jesus to you and there's no other name under heaven whereby you must be saved. That took a lot of guts. Chutzpah, moxie, you name it. I've got a Yiddish word for it. I have a lot more surprises, but those will wait. Draw near to God inasmuch as it was not without an oath. God swore an oath in the new covenant. Boy, when God raises His hand, so to speak, and swears an oath, you can count on it. For they indeed became priests without an oath, but he with an oath, through the one who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest. What? Now listen to me. Forever means forever. Do you think that temporarily there can be some old covenant priests who can revive themselves? Ain't gonna happen. And even if it does happen, the Lord ain't gonna accept it. All the other is gone bye-bye. Adjust your theology. I don't know how all that works out. God will work it out. God swore. The other ones had no oath. They were anointed by animal blood. Jesus Christ was sworn by God. You're forever. That's why you cannot lose your salvation, nor can God's plan fail. Because Jesus Christ, God swore by an oath, forever you will intercede for your people. And it says, it's going to say, he always lives to make intercession for his people. God swore by an oath. So much more also, Jesus has become the guarantee. Remember that? What was that chef in Louisiana? I guarantee. Remember him? I think he's dead now, isn't he? I forget what his name was. Yeah, the Cajun cook. I prefer Frank's over McElhenney, though. It's not quite as burning. Anyway, what can I say? So much more so, Yeshua! Please note, he doesn't use his name of deity. He uses his human name. Listen to me. How do you know Jesus Christ understands your circumstances? 100% human apart from sin. Jesus, Yeshua, is the only priest forever. Ain't no one going to replace him temporarily. Ain't nobody going to replace his priests. Guess who are the priests? Take out, ladies, take out a makeup mirror and look in the mirror. There's who the priests are. Because the others were just shadow and dust. Remember that? That's my favorite movie, is Gladiator. And Proximo told him in Gladiator, Maximus, we are all shadow and dust. My whole school office is Gladiator to the cuirasses, to the helmets, and to the swords that drive people crazy there as fundamentalists. Because it reminds me what? It says this, we wrestle not against what? Please remember that the next time you listen to or read a book by preachers. I'm telling you to examine everything I say. I invite you to. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Do you think the Lord wants this church to be, or do you think Satan wants this church to be united? To be loving and kind? To be friends of sinners? Jesus was a friend of sinners. I don't know many conservative Christians that are too, they're always told, you stay away from those people. Birds of a feather flock together. Listen to me, your Savior sat down with the most ill-reputed people. Tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners. What was it about Jesus that made these people know their need of Him and yet were comfortable enough? I know most of the time when I tell people I'm a preacher, that's like putting holy water on a vampire. It really is. You ever seen a vampire movie where they throw holy water and... That's why I tell my kids, don't tell them I'm a preacher. Tell them I'm a professor. I teach. Because if you tell them that, why? You know why? I really think that we are not like our Savior as we should be. And so many Christians have given Christianity such a bad reputation. Unloving and unkind, always wanting judgment on people instead of saying, Jesus had mercy on me, He can have mercy on you. If He saved me, He ain't going to have no problem saving you. Next time you're with people, let them know that you're not like some of those people. He's the guarantee of a better covenant. It's really a best covenant now, you know. The former priests, on one hand, please note, this is what used to be, existed in greater numbers. By the way, what does he mean? He means you have one high priest in the new covenant, but look at all those people that they were dealing with in the old covenant. They existed in greater number because they were prevented by death from continuing. They all, what? Died. Listen, this is why Christians have security in the new covenant, because Christ can't, what? Die. Right now He's interceding for you. That's His job. That's what He does. He's your defense attorney. He's interceding, and we're guilty. But the job of a defense attorney, I talk to these guys, their job is to get the client declared what? Not guilty. And that's what you have. His blood cleansed us. Father, not guilty. He never lost a case. But Jesus, Yeshua, on the other hand, because He continues, what? Ain't nobody going to replace His priesthood, even temporarily. I hear that if a person is named Cohen, they could have been related, because Cohen in Hebrew means priest. They're out of a job. They're forever out of a job. The Heavenly Father who honored His Son does not want animal sacrifice. They are shadow and dust. They do not come back. He holds His priesthood permanently. So why can He save you forever? Because you can't lose this. This lawyer will never drop you as a case. Then look what it says. Verse 25 is a therefore. Therefore is therefore for some reason. In light of all that I've said, that it's a better hope, that Christ's priesthood canceled out everything else, therefore, because He keeps it permanently, therefore, He is what? He didn't say you are able, does it? So the theology that says you need... I had an old preacher. You got to hang on to God. Well, in a way, that could be true, but listen to me. God, to His true children, always hangs on to them. Therefore, because of the new covenant and Christ permanently interceding, because of a better covenant guarantee, He is able also to save... what? Forever. Those who draw near to God, personal responsibility. Yes, the sovereignty of God and the personal responsibility. Let's keep them balanced. Through Him. Why? Why does He say? Because He always lives to make defense for them. You got to say, Lord, I need Your defense. Lord, I'm guilty. I know You're guilty. Lord, I'm no good. Lord, my wife's right about me. I'm no good. I always pick on the men because I know they'll forgive me. The ladies will never forgive. I know the men will forgive. They will forgive. The ladies, we respect you. to make intercession for them. What can stop his intercession? If he stopped being priest, and he is forever, because why? God swore, you will always, no one will replace you. You will always be the high priest of my people. You will always intercede for them, and Jesus Christ cannot lose the case. You want to go back to the old covenant? Those old guys were crooked. Samuel's sons, even though Samuel was a good guy, Shamuel asked of God. His sons were rotten. Imagine going to one of those people. You come to Christ, who never lost a case, that will always be your high priest, who's always there for you, who will intercede for you. And God swore by an oath. Can God lie? Can God err? Can preachers err? Can preacher books err? Can preacher books lie? Can preacher books get things wrong? Can the Word of God? It's just that simple. You'd think a preacher wouldn't have to say that, but in today's age and what's been going on with these wacko preachers, I don't even listen to them anymore. They make me so sick. They come across a verse of Scripture that contradicts their theology. What do they do? I don't see that verse. I love the book of Hebrews. It sure corrected me on a lot of things. Allow the Word of God to stand in judgment of man's theology.